And today is a challenging text. Today's a challenging text, and I hope that maybe we're reminded of how God's Word surprises us sometimes. And sometimes Jesus says things to people that you and I think, can he say that? And what I hope happens to us this morning is that we're reminded of God's grace and mercy in our lives and how we do not have a claim upon him. And everything that he extends to us is an act of his mercy, and our hearts should be overwhelming with gratitude at all that he allows us to experience in life. I want to read a passage from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. Unless I'm barred for some reason, which I can't imagine what that would be, other than great physical illness. And as I work through Proverbs, there are these little verses that stick in my head from different passages. And one today that sticks in my head that relates to the sermon is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. Listen to what this verse says. One who is full loathes to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. To the one who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. If you would, to pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of this day and for allowing us to be here in worship. We thank you that we want to be here, that we have a desire to gather together, community to worship you and to encourage those who are around us. And we thank you that we have the ability to be here. Lord, we confess to you sometimes that we presume upon your kindness and we think that we are entitled to the blessings that you allow us to experience. And when we feel that way, Lord, our hearts can't feel the appropriate gratitude to you. You have shown us mercy on mercy on mercy. And so we pray this morning as we gather for worship and as we contemplate who you are and your kindness to us, that you have pursued us through faith in Jesus Christ, that you have given us the opportunity to experience eternal life and the life to come and abundant life in this life. Lord, we pray that you would renew in us a sense of gratitude, lives of praise and lives of praise, and that you would help us to stand back in astonishment at the ways in which you have been so kind to us. Father, we pray for each child that received a Bible this morning and for their families. Lord, we pray that they would grow to value and to treasure your word, that you, by the power of your Spirit, would help them to see Jesus on display all throughout the story of Scripture, and that if they haven't yet, in your good time and your providence, that you would call them to faith in Jesus, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would give them receptive hearts in the paths of righteousness for their good and for your glory. And we pray that for all of us, Lord, that you would give us a renewed sense of hunger for your word, that you would shape our hearts, that we would understand how loving and kind you've been to us, and that we would want to know you more deeply in your word and live for you more faithfully. We might leave this place, that we might go out into a world that desperately needs to see and experience the grace and the faith in Jesus Christ. As we gather for worship, we celebrate with those who are rejoicing at the gift of new life. We continue to pray for Coley and Scott Britton and rejoice with Nikki and Jason Harkins in the gift and the birth of Lucille Fay. We pray for Collier and Johnny Simpson and the birth of their son, Fisher. We pray for Elizabeth and Sid Lohman. We rejoice with them. We pray for Sarah and Doug Steele and the birth of their daughter, Hannah Lynn. Lord, we thank you for continuing to be gracious. We thank you for the gift of these lives, and we pray for these parents and these families, that you would strengthen them and sustain them for the living of these days, and that you, in your good timing, Lord, that you would help these children see Christ displayed and modeled in their families and their homes, that they would understand and grow in their faith of Jesus here in our congregation, that we would be faithful to walk alongside and teach them, for them, that they too may come to faith in your good time. We're also mindful to weep with and mourn with those whose hearts are heavy with grief. In that regard, we continue to pray for Grace Swan and the death of her father. We continue to pray for the family of Buddy Nelson, and we pray for Debbie Hicks and the death of her brother, Bruce. For each of these persons and for those that they represent, Lord, we pray that you would help them to know and to be reminded of the hope that nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love that you've shown us in Jesus Christ. And we can be sure that we will always be in your presence, and that one day our faith will become sight. Jesus will return to this world to complete his work of making all things new, and we'll be raised with bodies immortal, imperishable, always to be with you in the new heavens and the new earth, where the former things of this fallen world will be no more. Between pray that you would help us to do everything that we can, striving with the power that you provide, that others might come to know saving faith in Jesus Christ. We offer this prayer in his name, in the manner in which he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, passes, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There is no children's sermon today, so children that are in 3K through kindergarten will meet Ms. Sheeran at the back of the sanctuary during the doxology. Our offertory reading today is James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give good and perfect gifts. And so often we miss on returning thanks for them. So bring to mind even now in our hearts and lives the gifts that you have given to us. And thank you, Lord, for the Lord, that you do not change, that you are constant. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Deliver in time of storm. I know he will keep you safe from all earthly harm. One day when my weary soul is, I'm going home to be forever blessed.
I'll see.
from King Pharaoh, and furnace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When I think of what my God can do, He delivered Daniel. I know He will deliver you. My God is able. He is the deliverer. Never doubt. He never
jumped in front of Joel. Y'all, that song got, I'm ready to preach. Go ahead, Joel.
I'm usually the one that forgets. This is a nice change. Every single week, we find that it is so helpful to remind ourselves of the things that we, our prayer, that the more we say these things, the more our lives will start to reflect these convictions that we hold so dearly. So if you will, please stand with me this morning as you're able, as we affirm the things that we believe through the affirmation of faith that is printed in your worship guide. Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and now sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whom he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the everlasting life. Amen.
Sincerely, football season is around the corner, and that might be like the closest a preacher ever feels to like getting the pregame talk and storming the field. That was good. Partly thought maybe we should just give an invitation right now. We've got the first graders, this is their go out to children's worship. So I don't want them to, they've been counting the days to hear my sermon. So if we just dismiss, they would be so disappointed, I'm sure. It's been a big weekend in the life of the church. Friday night we had a concert in here. Sandra McCracken was here. We had a wonderful group of people who assembled to be a part of that. Lots of folks from across denominational lines, across the community, here in the sanctuary for a concert. And then yesterday we got together to talk about guest speaker Andy Jung has been with us this weekend. Andy, just stand up so everybody can see you. Thank you for being with us and serving with us. And Hopefully you'll come back again one day. We always have this many people, and the music is always like, I mean, I don't know what your church is like, but hope it's not a disappointment next weekend. I'll say more about this later, but Micaiah, thank you. All right, I'm an old man. It happens to me more and more. All right, Matthew 15, let's start reading in verse 21. Listen to what Matthew says. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity said, "Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus' disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered him, "Woman, you have great faith." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to paint a picture for you. There's a family gathered at a restaurant for dinner. You've got mom and dad comes out, and the food is distributed to everyone. And then you hear one of the children start crying. "Well, this is not what I wanted. This isn't what I ordered. It's got this thing on it. It's got these green things in it." And there's kind of this conversation that breaks out satisfied. Or perhaps maybe you see them lined up at the ice cream shop, and the ice cream's being scooped out, and they get it, and they didn't like that particular flavor that they got, and there's this kind of, have you ever been there, parents? You ever witnessed that? What's the phrase, perhaps, that a parent might say in response to such a incident? You get what you get, and you don't what? Pitch a fit. I'm telling you, we're singing spirituals every Sunday. This is the best reaction I've gotten in a while. A little back and forth here. Yeah. You get what you get, and you don't pitch a fit. And there's a part of you, especially if you're a parent, especially if you've got all this, like, maybe built up anticipation. Maybe it's in a big time. Maybe it's a back to school. Maybe someone's graduated. Maybe you've made all these things and all these predictions about this. And just in that moment, the ingratitude just messes everything up. How can't you see all the stuff that you're able to experience in life? Can't you understand the beauty of coming to a meal like this or being able to have ice cream? Can't you wake up and not, can't you get over yourself and just be happy that you got something? You get what you get, and you don't pitch a fit. There's a part of me that it's easy. See, kids, first graders, welcome. It's easy for us to pick on y'all because we're more sophisticated. When we don't get what we want as adults, we're a little more sophisticated at times and there in front of air and you're breathing. You've had moments in your life where you took things for granted or you felt entitled to certain experiences or things in life. And when things weren't exactly what you wanted or you didn't think it worked out in the way that you had dreamed, there's a part of you, if you're not careful, ingratitude can work into your heart. And when ingratitude gets in your heart and you can't see all the ways that God has been so gracious and merciful in your life, and then to respond in gratitude and thankfulness with that, I can't believe that I get to experience this. Can't believe I get to be a pastor of a church like this. Get to do Faust. Can't believe you get to be married to that person, or you can't believe that you get to go to school system. You fill in the blank over and over again. If we pay attention to the ways in which God has been gracious to us, there is a part of us that ought to just overflow and almost just not able to express our gratitude for God's kindness and mercy to us. But it is a part that if I'm not careful, I overlook all the ways that God has been kind to me. The fact that I'm able to be here, the fact that I desire to be here, the fact that I can have a copy of God's word, the fact that I know how to read. I could go on and on. To awaken me to this certain sense of, wow, God has been so gracious to me that I ought to respond in gratitude and worship as I understand his mercy to me. When I read this passage in Matthew chapter 15, if I'm not careful, Jesus responds to this lady that I'll miss how desperate she was for Jesus to mercifully respond to her great need, and I'll miss the picture of her worried about what Jesus says to her. Now Matthew tells us that she's in, and if you get a map out and look, like it's way northwest. Like picture you got on corridor X and you're going to Memphis. And you like get past that exit that has the hotel. I'm always wondering, why is it there? Anyways, you're out. Jesus is out. He's away from the land where everybody would have associated with holiness and the presence of God. He was, in a very real sense, with those people. He was among that region of people. A Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying. And when you hear Canaanite woman, does it evoke any kind of emotions or feeling in you today? A Canaanite woman. It's a term to refer to pagan people, to those who were even opponents or enemies of God's people. It's kind of like she was a Canaanite woman idea. And she comes out to Jesus, and what does she pray for? Have mercy on me. Like if there's one thing that this woman understood is that she had no claim upon Jesus. It wasn't, hey, let me tell you about how great I am. Hey, let me tell you about where I come from. Hey, let me tell you, Jesus, about done. Kind of going, Jesus ought to see her and respond to her. But instead, she says what? Have mercy on me. And one of the great truths of the Bible, as you read through the Bible, is this really powerful truth that every person alive, the only appropriate posture to come is one of the heart crying out for mercy. Have mercy upon me, Lord, because in my sinfulness, if I were left to my own devices, and I'll just tell you, I'll spare you the details, but if I think about my own life growing up, at every point I would not know him, and I would have made shipwreck of my life time and time again, but over and over again in ways that I don't understand, in ways that I can't comprehend, has been merciful to me. And the further I get away, the more I start to think that maybe I am a good person. Like maybe I have done some things that should merit God's grace and favor and kindness in my life. Maybe I did do this right, or I did go to church, or I did give some money, or fill in the blank. And when any sense of self-righteousness creeps up in my heart, it is indeed for God's mercy. And when that happens, there's a certain sense of entitlement. And I come to the Lord as if he owes me something. And the beautiful truth of our hearts and our minds around it is that God doesn't owe any of us anything. Full stop. He doesn't owe any of us. And we come to him, our heart and our posture is one of, Lord, have mercy on me. So this Canaanite woman comes and she cries out, have mercy on me, O Lord, and that he is the Messiah, that he is the one that the Lord would send. And you often see these terms on strange people's lips. This Canaanite woman, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And how did Jesus respond to her? Silence. Imagine you came to my office this week and you were like, Wayne, could you do this for me? And I didn't even dignify your request with a response. would you feel? Offended, would you not? Like, I at least deserve a response. And Jesus has this woman crying out for him, and he doesn't say anything to her. And so here are the disciples coming in to counsel Jesus, to kind of help him. And they're like, hey, in case you didn't notice, there's a woman begging for mercy here. Her away, she's crying out after us. And then Jesus makes this statement, and you can go back in Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, and see this same statement when he sends the disciples out. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm reading through the book of Romans. I just finished Romans this morning. I just finished Romans before I came to church. Romans 9 through 11. Wrestling with Paul's theological grappling with why it is that so many of his people had not accepted the Savior, had not responded in faith. And he's wrestling with God's promises and his calls and his blessings on the Israelites and the Jewish people. Acknowledges all the blessings and all the ways in which God was so gracious and merciful. All the things that the Lord had done. And then Paul wrestles with why they didn't respond in belief largely in the Messiah. And then he gets into the Gentiles. And do you know what he kind of hones on this idea of Gentiles. And he says, don't get proud. If you responded to Jesus in faith, if you and I are smarter or better or figured it out or more righteous, it's God's gracious work in our hearts by the power of his. And Paul is very careful. I encourage you to read it this week. To say, don't forget, the Lord is continuing to pursue them, his people, continuing to hold out the gospel, and our heart should be that they would respond in repentance and faith and believe in Christ. And at every point along the way, there is this desire for us to walk and to say, Lord, I don't know why you have engrafted me into your people, but thank you for your mercy in my life and my heart as I want others to respond. Paul would adopt this mindset as he went throughout the world. He would go to the synagogue. He would preach the good to the Gentiles. And so Jesus says, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. John Calvin, commenting on this text, would say that in time the gospel is going to the Gentiles, but in this first. And this woman could have responded to this message. She could have been mad. She could have tried to say, well, hey, here's reason why you ought to work in my life. But she continues to press forward. And Jesus says this thing that is as hurtful as we listen to it, and if we heard it on the ears. She said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And then she responds, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you have asked. And the thing I want to ask you this morning, and I'm asking myself, is do I see that everything that the Lord has allowed to see and to understand and to believe the gospel, to come to saving faith, to be a part of all that I inherit in Christ, that is this wonderful act of his mercy and every good thing he allows me to experience, that I should have that same heart of gratitude and that lack of entitlement, whatever it is that you allow me to have or to experience, thank you. Thank you. Forgive me at any point for ways that I've overlooked your mercy and grace. Forgive me entitled for something from you. Forgive me at any point if I've acted as if you owe me something. Remind me that at every moment in my life, in your kindness. When you do that, be more joyful, helps you to be happier in life. It helps you to see other people as objects and candidates for God's mercy in their life. The Lord has been so gracious and merciful in your life. There is nobody walking on the face of the planet that is beyond God's grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. And our response to them is to say, hey, let me just tell you. If you think you're too far gone, if you think you are outside the bounds of God's grace and mercy, let me tell you ways in which God has been merciful to me at every point along the way, and you can get in on this. That God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world so that you and I might have eternal and abundant life through faith in him. And if we ever feel entitled, if we ever think that God owes us something, if we ever get beyond all being amazed at his kindness to us, let's correct each other and say, it's all mercy. At every point along the way, it's just mercy. And our hearts would respond in obedience. Father, we thank you for being merciful to us sinners. And Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us for any pride or arrogance or sense of entitlement that might well up in our hearts that would make us believe or think that we somehow have earned something from you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to adopt this posture of not trying to justify ourselves or not trying to make demands upon you or not trying to point to anything that we've done, but anything that you allow us to experience that is good is a work of your grace and your kindness, and that would overflow in a life of gratitude and in a life of inviting other people to experience what we've experienced in Jesus. We offer this prayer in your holy name.